good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer. Access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
What do you know about the Constitution?
Is the Constitution still relevant?
Does it align with the Word of God?
Why should we care?
It's not about the donkey. It's not about the elephant. It is about the lamb.
Join us on July 11th to discuss these and other topics. We will have more information coming soon. This event will be in Dayton, Ohio.
Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." What does faith mean to you, LJ Renee, in its simplest form?
What faith means to me is to believe on and act upon the promises that God has given you. Now you tell me, what do you believe faith is?
I believe, just like it says in Hebrews 11:1, if I were putting that in my own words, to me and from experience, faith is trusting in God without concrete evidence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is to me. Is he's asking me to pretty much blindfold myself, walk into a room and believe that without anyone leading me physically by the hand, if he says go left, when I turn left, I believe that I'm going to be in a safe zone. If he says sit down, I believe there's going to be a seat that catches me when I set my weight upon it. If he says jump off, I believe that there's going to be something that catches me without falling when I take that leap. Faith is following God without any concrete evidence that our natural senses can catch hold to. We like to touch it and smell it and see it and taste it and feel it. But faith in God says you're not going to touch it and see it and smell it and feel it, but you're going to believe it based on the hope that God has given you on the inside. I mean, hope is a powerful thing because it is truly the substance of what faith is made of.
That's absolutely right. When God gives you a promise, he will perform it if you would just trust and believe. Romans 4, 20 and 21 says, and it was talking about Abraham. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That is having the faith in God to perform it. Matter of fact, there's also a scripture where it says in about Abraham, it says that he believed God even when he hoped against hope, when even it didn't look like the promises was coming for, when it looked like he was even weak in his own body to produce, he still believed God. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. But if he said he would do it, and he said that I will watch over my word to perform it. Having faith in God is believing in his promises. It's like this. God said for you to give, and he said if you give, then I will cause men to give into your bosom with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run it over shall man give into your bosom. And he also talked about the kingdom of God. He spoke and he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I will add all these things unto you. And if you do those things, then he said, I'm going to fulfill my promise.
Amen. So just born out of previous radio broadcast discussions, we want to talk about prove me, because over the last several weeks, God has been challenging us through the discussion to prove him, to have faith in him, to trust him, to step out on faith. And that's why we're using this scripture here in Romans 4 about Abraham staggering not at the promises of God. And when you think about staggering, the first thing that comes to my mind is a drunk person.
Mm-hmm.
That is staggering. And when you think about how someone walks and when they stagger, they waver, they begin to falter, they might even fall down or at least look like they're tripping and stumbling and there's nothing in their way. And that's what he's saying. He said he didn't do that when it came to the promises of God. He wasn't up today, down tomorrow, believing today, doubting tomorrow. He did not stagger or waver or hesitate at the promises of God through unbelief. The Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I would to God that that would be the testimony of all of us, but we are a work in progress, getting mm-hmm. to where we are building ourselves up on our most holy faith, believing in God, here a little, there a little, watching what God has done for you, believing he can do it in me. We are going to prove God. And when you prove something, that means that you are going to put it to the test and see if it is everything that it is given itself to be. In other words, when people sell an item and they have a warranty attached to that item, they are saying it will do and perform everything we said. And if it doesn't, you bring it back to us and we'll give you all your money back. You can prove us. You can prove our product. You can take it home for 30 days for free. That's the thing about someone that has a quality product. They're never afraid to let you test drive a car if they know the car is of good quality. As a matter of fact, I don't even hardly buy anything that doesn't come with some kind of warranty. In other words, I shouldn't have to buy a warranty. If your product is any good, you should guarantee it for a certain amount of days yourself. It ought to come with some guarantee that it is going to work. And if you can't guarantee it, then I don't want your product, because that means something's probably wrong with it to begin with. God is saying, prove me, and you can try him. He's not wondering and worried and concerned that if you put his word to the test, that some of it might not happen, that it might not be fulfilled the way he said. He is not worried. He guards his word to perform it, and not one dot of an I or cross of a T of God's word will ever fall to the ground unfulfilled. He said it like this. He put his whole godness on the line for it. He said, heaven and earth will pass away before one dot of an I or cross of a T of my word fails to come to pass. In other words, LJ Renee, it's this serious. If God's word weren't going to come to pass, you would never be alive to experience it, because he'd wipe the earth and the heavens clear of all humanity and all living things before he would. That's how serious this is. There would be no one alive to see the word of God fail if it were possible for the word of God to fail. Before one human being or living thing could see the word of God fail, he'd wipe the heavens and the earth clean of all humanity and living things. That's how serious he is about his word. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away before I let any part of my word fail to come to pass. Can you back up your word like that? God is some kind of God.
And you know what? It even goes on if you flip that thing. He's saying, listen, before I allow my word to fail, he said, I will move anything out my way in order to assure that my promises will get to you. I mean, he is just that great of a God that he would destroy anything. He would move it out the way just to make sure that the word that he spoke is going to be, that's going to come to you. His promises are going to be real to you. You know, one day after prayer, in the morning prayer, I began to start praying again about some issues. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord speak. He says, you walk by faith and not by sight. And he kept saying it to me to the point when I began to start repeating it. And when I started repeating it, it got even the more real to me. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk according to the things that we see, but we walk according to the promises promises in which God has given unto us. Because if we walk by sight, we might trip up and stagger at the promises of God. If we look at the situation and circumstances in which we are in, we might say, this thing is not going to come to pass. Then as I begin to start meditating on that word, I begin reading again, even in my journal, and I saw where I had put down, God had says, put feet to your faith. Put feet to your faith. That means to walk it out. Whatever the promise God has given to you, he said to walk it out. He said, trust in me and believe that I will be able to do it. He says, you know, you can have faith, but if you don't have action with that faith, it don't mean a thing. He said, if you really believe, he said, you will put feet to that faith. And so I'm encouraging someone today, the promises that God has given you, it could be a vision that God has given you. It could be in regards to your health or in regards to something that's going on at work, and it doesn't look like you're going to get that promotion because it looks like everything is lined up against you. It looks like your boss don't like you. But when God says you're going to get a promotion, listen, if the boss stand in the way, he said, I will move them out the way because I have the power to put one up and the power to put another one down. So just know if he says to you that you're going to be promoted, know that he is going to do just what he
says.
But
that's why we have to know, if God said it, I mean, even the prophetic words that he gives to you, that's the same word that he guards, that word just like he guards the words in these 66 books in the, all of the word of God is true. All of the word of God is backed up by his promise and guarantee that he will guard his word to perform it and that none of it will fall to the ground unfulfilled. If God said it, he is going to do it. You know, the challenge that he gave them over in Malachi, I mean, he was talking about them bringing their tithes and offering into the storehouse, but the same principle is true. He said, prove me now herewith and see if I won't do exactly what I said. If you bring your tithes into my storehouse, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. We get caught up and we say, well, I brought my money and they misused the funds. Did you bring it and give it as unto the Lord? Did you sow it into good soil? Then you have done your part and God is obligated to do his part. But you can prove God in so many areas of your life. If you're sick, prove God that he is the healer. If you're bound, prove God that he is the liberator. Yes. If you are sad, prove God that he is the joy of your life. If you are broke, prove God that he is the provider. I mean, whatever it is you need from God, prove him that he is everything that he said he is. And I said like this, I said a few weeks ago, that if God is not who he said he is, if you take this word and do your part and you don't see God do his part, then we can throw the whole thing away. But I know because he said you'd never live to see his word go unfulfilled. There is this thing called timing in the Lord that you've got to be mindful of. He just because you did your part, don't think you can snap your finger and God comes a running, but he will keep his word. It might not be today and it might not be tomorrow. And that's what gets us in trouble is that we want God to show up yesterday. We think that we have a natural deadline of next week. And if he doesn't show up by next week, then surely God has failed. But don't you know that God is not limited by the natural things in this world? You say, but there's a certain date and a certain time and a certain deadline. Don't you know he can back up time?
Yes,
he can hold the sun still. He can change the deadline, even the one that they have set. I've seen him cause people to lose paperwork. I've seen him cause contracts to be rewritten. I've seen him cause favor to be given where they say you have exceeded the deadline and this is the consequences. But, and we just talked about it, I will give you mercy and they will extend you a new deadline. You'll hear people saying things like, we've never done it like this before. These are the things you'll experience when you set an atmosphere of faith. When you believe God, it's an atmosphere that you establish around you. And in that atmosphere of faith, there's healing and deliverance and signs and wonders and miracles that God will do when there is an atmosphere of faith. And you know it's true because Jesus said when he was in his earthly ministry, he said he couldn't do many great works where he was from in Nazareth because they didn't have enough faith there. But when there is faith, faith that causes a woman to crawl on her hands and knees and say, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. When there is faith, faith that says that you don't even have to come to my house, just speak the word and I know that the healing will follow your word. When there is faith, God will work a work that even though it be told you, you wouldn't even believe it. But you know, we say things like the proof is in the pudding and seeing is believing and I'll believe it when I see it. But what I'm telling you, you got to throw all that out the window because when God comes in, he comes with a different way. His ways are not our ways. The proof is not in the pudding when it comes to God. Seeing is not believing when it comes to God. You will not believe it when you see it when it comes to God. God challenges you to believe without ever seeing it. God challenges you to believe without having any concrete physical evidence. He challenges you to hope when everything seems utterly hopeless in your life. He will take you beyond the brink of what you thought you could endure. And he said, now will you believe me? He will tell you, step out of the ship and walk on the water. He will tell you, cast your net on the right side when you've been fishing all night long. He will tell you that I will do a work and then he'll go lay down and die. And you say, how can he do anything if he's already been crucified? Because he'll get up on the third day. God does the miraculous and he only wants you to prove him.
But you know what? You said something good there. You said that it's a time. If it doesn't happen in your requirement, then you want to give up hope. But I'm reminded of the scripture where he says there's seed, time, and harvest. Right now, sometimes, well, we say that scripture, seed, time, and harvest. We say it real quick, but we can slow it down and say, seed, the promises have been planted. Okay, now you give it time. And when you give it time, God began to fulfill that promise, and then the harvest will come. But you know what has been an enemy sometimes when we're in between time, when we're between that seed and that harvest, is that we begin to lean to our own understanding. There is two enemies right there is when we begin to lean to our own understanding. But the first part of that scripture says to trust. And that's one of the things that we fail to do. I mean, it's a process, just like you're saying. But listen, he's saying, prove me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. We try to figure out which way he's going to move. We try to figure out how he's going to do this thing. And so we end up leaning to our own understanding that when he does give you instruction, because it doesn't fit within that your understanding of things, then it can't be so. So he's saying, listen, one of those enemies is that you're leaning too much to your understanding. Just prove me and see if I won't do it for you.
And the reason why we can prove him and have confidence in him is because 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. I mean, by whom you were called, God is faithful. There is no shadow of turning with him. There is no chance he won't do what he said. He is so faithful to do what he promised that you can put your life in his hands and know that he's got you. I mean, sometimes we say, I got your back, and you look back and everybody's gone. I mean, sometimes we say, I'm with you, and you turn around and there's nobody there, but God's got you. He is faithful, and there is never a time when you will look for the faithfulness of God and God will have let you down. He is so faithful that you can put your life in his hands.
prove him. And as you are proving God, the promises that he's given to you, you're setting up an atmosphere of faith. You're setting up the atmosphere for miracles, signs, and wonders. You are causing people to see that he is faithful, and they will begin to believe that if he did it for you, he'll do it for me. In the atmosphere of faith, miracles will take place. The atmosphere of faith, you can be changed.
In the atmosphere of faith, miracles take place. In the atmosphere of faith, you can be changed. In the atmosphere of faith, miracles take place. In the atmosphere of
in the atmosphere of faith. That's an atmosphere I want to dwell in. I want to live in it. The atmosphere of faith where miracles take place. You keep wondering, why do we not see miracles? We need to set the atmosphere. There is no shortcoming in God. We need to set the atmosphere of faith where we can be changed and miracles can take place.
Just like Abraham, it said he was fully persuaded. I mean, he embraced the promises of God, that he knew that God was able to do what he said he would do. And in the scripture, it says that in the time that you are waiting on God, when you're standing on faith, in faith, and when it doesn't look like it's coming forth, and it looks like to you, you're about ready to faint, or that your feet is about ready to slip. Remember in Jude, the first chapter, oh my God, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh my goodness, that will keep you from failing. Absolutely. You can change that around and say, keep you from failing. And he said, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
He's going to present us faultless.
My God, faultless, without blemish. He says, prove me. I'm going to take you up. I'm going to take you up on it. I'm going to believe you for the things that you put in my heart and my spirit. I'm going to believe you for it. I mean, there's been times past when I stumbled and when I almost fainted, like David said, but I didn't fail to see the power of God to be able to deliver me from my enemies. I'm believing you, God, that you're going to help me get to that point where you want me to. I can just see right now, and I was telling you before, that God have all these promises stacked up behind a wall. You can't see them, but his challenge to you is said, prove me now. You have no idea what I have in store for you. I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask to think. If you prove me, I'm going to open this door. I'm going to open the windows of heaven, and I'm going to pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. Oh my God.
And the thing about setting that atmosphere of faith, faith is contagious. I mean, if you get around people that believe God, who believe in the impossibilities, that God can do anything, who believe that God will do exceeding abundantly above all they ask. When you get around people with contagious faith, people that know how great their God is, when others see them, they'll see God in them, and they'll begin to trust in God. I want to live right. a life before God that others are thirsty for God. They want that God that emanates in your life, that flows through you, that river of living water that springs up from you. They want the God that they see in you. We don't want to live a life so that other people look at you and they say, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want it. But I want to live so in God that they say, if that's what God can do for her, let me give him a try, because maybe he can do something for me too.
My goodness, that's powerful. You know what? There are some things that you can do in order to prove God and his promises. One of the things that you can begin to do is pray God's promises back to him. And I'm reminded when David began to start praying the promises back to God, when God told him that he would build a house. And he says, so now, great God, this word that you have spoken to me and my family, he said, guarantee it permanently. Do exactly what you promised. Then your reputation will flourish always, as people exclaim. And that's what you were talking about, is that when you stand in faith, believing that it will be contagious to others to see, they're going to say, let me see if this is going to come to pass. And when it does, they say, now, if God did that for them, surely he can do it for us. And I want to tell you too, is that in order to stand on God's promise, we said first you got to believe that you receive it. When you pray that prayer back to God, his promises, then you begin to speak. You begin to speak to that mountain or that problem that have come up against you, that's trying to destroy your faith. You can even rebuke that problem and then begin to quote again what the word of God says. And then you begin to say, it shall be done according to God's word. Those are the three things that you can do in order to prove God now and to stand in the time waiting patiently for God to deliver on his promise. One, you got to believe that you receive. Two, you got to speak to that mountain that comes against you. And three, you got to say what you want to come to pass.
And change your surroundings. If you got a bunch of doubters and murmurers and complainers around you, then get around some people of faith. I want to be around those who can encourage me if my faith grows a little weak. Around those who say, get up and brush yourself off and trust and believe in what the Lord has said. I don't want to be around people murmuring, complaining, and whining all the time. They'll drag your spirit down. I want to be around those who will encourage me in the things of God, that I might move and operate in the power of his might. I thank you, dear God, for this day that you have made. And I praise you, dear God, hallelujah, that you have given to every one of us a measure of faith. Now, dear God, may we take that faith and mix it with your word and prove you, that we might see that you are everything you said you are. May we take that faith and prove you, God, to see that you will do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. God, would you give us faith to be healed in our bodies, faith to be healed in our minds, faith to be delivered in our souls. May your favor follow where our faith goes, God. I pray that we pick up those dreams and visions, God, that we go back and get those things that we have written down but given up on, that we, Father, go back to that valley of dry bones, and that we begin to speak over those dry bones and say, God, that these things can live. These are the things that the Lord has spoken. And Father, I pray that as our faith begins to connect with your word, that you will breathe into them the breath of life, God, and you will cause every bone to be connected to its own bone. And where some, Father, have found it difficult to believe, would you show them through tiny steps how to trust you each day, a little bit here and a little bit there, God, until they, Father, are running through a troop and leaping over a wall and proclaiming that their God can do the impossible. May each of us be able to say that we staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but may we be strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and may we be fully persuaded that what you have promised to us, that you are not only able, but that you will do it in the land of the living. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you praise.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Today is Father's Day, and we would like to take this time to wish all of the fathers, godfathers, grandfathers, and fathers-to-be a very happy Father's Day. What do you know about the Constitution?
Is the Constitution still relevant?
Does it align with the Word of God?
Why should we care?
It's not about the donkey. It's not about the elephant. It is about the lamb.
Join us on July 11th to discuss these and other topics. We will have more information coming soon. This event will be in Dayton, Ohio.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.